This episode of Enough, the Minimal Mac podcast, is brought to you by Authentic Jobs, where creative professionals and companies meet to make a better web. Since 2005, designers, developers, and other web folks have been applying for positions at Apple, Frog Design, ESPN, Electronic Arts, and lots of other companies, big and small. Find your next full-time job, freelance gig, or internship at AuthenticJobs.com or AuthenticJobs.com/UK for those of you, like me, in the UK.
So hello, Mike.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Busy.
Busy's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm busy, too.
You just got back from a break. That's why.
Yeah. Just back from Boston area with a stop in the Finger Lakes region of New York, which is just gorgeous. Really beautiful. We stayed at, so my wife's former college roommate has a cabin, a lakeside cabin, Lake Cayuga. It's one of the Finger Lakes. They're called the Finger Lakes because they really do look like they're very long lakes, and they're kind of right next to each other. It looks like a giant took his giant hand and scratched a hole in the earth, and it filled up with water. I mean, it's really kind of interesting. Just a very gorgeous cabin. That region is, and I really didn't know this until I was up there, known for its wineries, especially, which normally we associate wineries with, like, well, places better than here. But certainly in the U.S., California and such, and we don't think much of. But apparently, I mean, the wine production there is just huge, absolutely huge. So we got to tour several wineries. I bought a case of some good hard ciders that we found at this place that does ciders.
That sounds good.
Yeah, really nice stuff.
So you met fans as well, didn't you, when you were away?
Yeah, went to Boston, had the Boston Minimal Mac meetup, which I talked about greatly on the site, and turnout was great. Lots of people showed up. I think we had about maybe 25, 30 people there, all told. Folks kind of came and went as they pleased. So it just floored me. Really great conversation with several readers, many of which, we spent a good couple hours me kind of, cornered with folks around me asking me questions and such. And that was a blast. Lots of thought-provoking conversation ensued. But for me, one of the big highlights was just meeting some people that, like, I'd only known online previously.
Yeah.
People I considered friends, not the least of which was Aaron Mankey, who... Yeah, is my, he's my designer. He's my go-to guy for all things design related. And he did the Minimal Mac logo, for instance. And he's just a fantastic logo designer. If anyone needs anything like that, he's the guy to go to. He designed logos for several for you as well, for projects released and unreleased.
Yeah, he did,
right?
He did the 11 Minutes logo.
Yeah, which is gorgeous.
He's also designed the best logo ever for the podcast network that we're working on.
Oh, yeah. And I saw a preview of that, and it really is fantastic. It probably is one of the best logos I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was absolutely indebted to Aaron for that. Superb work. Superb. Yeah. And he just did a really good interview with Stephen Hackett of Fort Bomber, which we should link to.
Yeah, we totally should. Yeah, let's do that, because that was good. and really gives an insight into him and his process, and more importantly, so besides being a logo designer, he's also a fabulous writer.
Yep.
He sci-fi and fantasy stuff. He just released his first book. Is currently, I believe, within the next very short while here, is set to release a second one.
Yeah, he's finishing it off right now.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll link to all that stuff in the show notes. So yeah, that was... So Aaron, actually, huge thanks to him, because not only did I have a chance to meet him, and I consider him a really close friend, and so it was great to meet him in person. He's really become, you know, something of a brother to me. He and his wife, who's just, first of all, his wife is just completely charming and beautiful, just a beautiful, beautiful person. You know, not just like, you know, well, she's also very good looking, but she's just a sweet, lovely person. And his daughters are wonderful. And Beatrix had such a great time. My daughter Beatrix had such a great time playing with Juniper, his daughter. Beatrix is 3 and Juniper is 2, and so it was great seeing kind of Beatrix be the big kid, because in many playing situations with some of the friends we have, they have slightly older kids, so she is always the little kid, and so it was neat seeing her be the big kid. But I digress. But so not only did you know, he and his lovely wife entertain us, his in-laws, his wife's parents, because they wanted to be, you know, close to the kids, to the grandkids, and they live in Atlanta normally, they bought a place in Gloucester, which is this beautiful coastal sea town. And they have this wonderful condo, and they don't stay in it most of the time, only when they're up visiting. And so Aaron and his wife let Bethany, myself, and Beatrix stay there. And so, have you ever seen the movie The Perfect Storm?
No.
Okay, check it out sometime. The Perfect Storm. But that, much of that, at least the parts that were filmed on land, were actually filmed in Gloucester.
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's just this picturesque, beautiful seaside town. I recently posted for Independence Day, which we celebrated here yesterday in the United States, where we, you may remember, as told by Sarah Palin, where Paul Revere, you know, rode through the streets to warn the British that they weren't going to be taking our guns. We won our independence from your despotic King George, and not won it. Well, we eventually won it, but on the 4th we declared it, and we said, "Screw you, King George. We're a free country now. We're not going to be beholden to England anymore.
And we're happy to have you back whenever you decide."
I was about to say,
to grow up. We're happy to have you back. We'll be the bigger man.
You know, for all that work, we sure do cling to a lot of British.
Well, it's like you were saying about Gloucester. There's a place here called Gloucester.
Of course. As a matter of fact, all of Massachusetts, for all of its, you know, for all of our revolutionary, you know, fight against the Brits and, you know, declare our independence and everything else, every single city is actually taken from the name of a British city. I'm not joking about this. Everything from and spelled the same way, yeah. Right? They didn't even bother to change the spelling.
Like Gloucester, the way Gloucester is spelled is so not an American spelling.
Exactly.
You guys would same never spell Gloucester the way that we spell Gloucester.
Here's another well-known Massachusetts town. Worcester. Spelled exactly as you guys spell
it's spelled,
it.
It's spelled to sound like Worcester.
Yes.
Or Worcester.
Yes.
The great sauce called Worcester sauce.
Yeah. Although, what's funny is, here in the United States, most people pronounce it Worcester sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You pronounce it the way it kind of should be said, I guess.
Said, yeah. Why is that? Why do you Brits have this tendency to completely, like, throw in random letters into the middle of words that you never plan on pronouncing?
I have they're
effectively
idea.
Silent.
It makes no sense. Because it's not even like, it's not just, it tends not to just be a silent letter. It's like half of the word.
I know. Leicester Square, for instance.
Yeah. It's got C's in there and E's and I's.
Yeah. Well, let's spell it out. It's L-E-I...
C-E-S-T-E-R.
C-E-S-T-E-R.
And all it needs to be is L-E-S-T-E-R. That's all it needs
to
be.
I know. Pretty much the entire center of the word is silent.
I feel like we need to do the minimal Mac treatment to the English language.
Just get rid of some
Just
of these...
minimalize all the words.
Yeah, some superfluous... Superfluous. I can never say that word.
I love that we're talking about letters. Minimalism and you chuck the word superfluous in there.
Yeah, I know. Is that awesome? It's true, though. Okay, I got to move on. So, yeah, so we stayed in Gloucester. Mm. Gloucester. I can't even say it. Gloucester. Thank you. If you guys would spell it right, I'd know how to pronounce it.
G-L-O-S-T-E-R.
Yes, there we go. So besides that, got a chance to meet Dave Kayola from 52 Tiger and the 11 Minutes podcast and everything else. And once again, another person who's kind of become a really good friend online. Fantastic guy in person. I didn't get nearly enough time to chat with him. Because our original plans to meet up didn't work out, and at the event, I seriously was kind of, you know, I had so many people to talk to that I ended up missing, not getting it, you know, not really getting the chance to talk to him that I would have wished. Yuri from Minimal, who is just awesome. I mean, this guy is just a badass in every respect of the word. And, you know, I got a chance to really find out what his background and history is, because he's a very, very fascinating guy who, originally born in Argentina, moved to Israel and was fought in the Israeli army, then moved here to the U.S. His wife is working on a couple of PhDs.
As you did.
At once, yeah. And joined up with the Marines, spent 2 years with the Marines here in the U.S. I mean, just like a true badass. You know, the sort of guy who... But he's super nice. Super nice guy. You know, relatively unassuming on the face. But this guy could, I mean, he seriously could kill you in a matter of seconds if, like, if you wanted to. I mean, like, literally, like, make you dead with his bare hands. He's just awesome.
Fair play.
But I love him. I just love him. I really wish, I didn't, once again, didn't get enough time to speak with him and wish I could have. Nick, the developer of Double Pain, showed up. Really fascinating guy, and really great to sit down and talk to and get a inside look at what it's like to kind of develop this, you know, this Mac app that he wrote it basically to scratch his own itch, as it were, you know, to solve something that he wanted to solve, and used it for a good couple of years before it even occurred to him that it might be something that someone else would want. And what's fascinating was that it was the Mac App Store that spurred him to do so.
All right. Okay. Because it was a Mac app, and it's I guess it's kind of difficult to support that sort of that kind of thing, really, I guess, on your own.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just a little tiny utility that, you know, maybe does one thing, but does one thing well. But, you know, hey, it just does this one thing. The idea of, you know, for someone who's working on this in his spare time, has a full-time job, really wrote it just to kind of, you know, solve a problem that he wanted to solve. the thought of having to set up a website and figure out an e-commerce solution to be able to sell this and as shareware and all of this other stuff just wasn't worth his time. So what the Mac App Store did was allow him to an easy way to share it and sell it to others. And I don't think that Nick's alone. I think a lot of what you're seeing on Mac apps on the Mac App Store right now is being born out of people that really had this stuff around for years but didn't really have an easy way to upload it and sell it without a lot of headache. And Apple kind of took that out of, took that away. So, yeah, Nick. By far my favorite. And this is no disrespect to anyone else who came, because I really appreciated everyone who did. But my friend Jason Remus literally flew in from Michigan overnight. Flew in the morning of the event, did a little sightseeing, came to the meetup, and was due to fly out the very next morning. He came just to meet me.
That's dedication.
That's just awesome. And we figured out we've known each other online for about 6 years now.
It's a long time.
And I have many friends I know in real life that I haven't known for 6 years.
Yeah.
And, here's someone who I think I know pretty well, having known for 6 years, yet had never met him in person. And I think it really speaks to the world we live in now and what this technology is doing for us and enabling us to do. I mean, it's really allowing us to be kind of telepresent with each other. And that's, it's fascinating to me. And as much as I have in the past been like, if you've got friends online and you're not meeting them in person, you'll never have the same quality of a relationship and this, that, and the other. But gosh, I'll tell you, it certainly does go a long way. There was so much. Like, Jason and I could just pick up a conversation.
Yeah.
Without any small talk, with any catch up, without any, because he knows what's going on with me. Mm-hmm. He knows all about my wife and my daughter, and I know all about his wife and what's going on with her and their business. And I mean, yes, it allowed me to fill in the details a little bit, but it was just a wonderful thing and really interesting. So yeah, Boston meetup, fantastic. Really had a great time. So what's enough about me and yap. What's on with you? What's happening with you?
Well, aside from being jealous of the meetup.
One will happen in London one day.
Yeah.
That much I can promise you.
One day.
I love London.
London loves you. London wants you to come here.
I would love to come. I mean, the problem is, it's not just me traveling.
No,
it's the whole family. It's me, it's Bethany, it's Beatrix, both of which require a full price ticket.
Yep.
Right. Traveling that long on a plane with a 3-year-old adds this whole other level of planning and complication. Tickets are not cheap, and especially this time of year in the summertime, it's really expensive. To fly to Great Britain. So, I mean, just the tickets alone for the three of us would probably be, let's just say we are able to get a really good price, you're probably still looking at about $1,500.
No, that's not a good price by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, right. So that's about $1,500 right there. Now you add to it the exchange rate, which, absolutely kills you.
Oh, yes.
Coming this way. I mean, it's really good for you guys coming my way.
It's been better, but it's still good.
Yeah. No, it's still pretty good. I mean, you still can make out about making at least 1.5 times your money.
Yeah. But it used to be 2 times.
Oh, it used to be 2. Mm. Yeah. I'll never forget. I have a friend over there who used to visit on a fairly regular basis and basically come with a whole empty suitcase. This is back when airlines allowed you to travel with suitcases. but would come with a whole empty suitcase just to load it up with jeans, for instance.
Yeah.
Right? You know, a pair of denim jeans over there would cost you about 100 pounds, right?
Yeah, a good pair.
A good pair. A nice pair, you know. Nice pair of jeans will cost you 100 pounds, which U.S. is a couple hundred dollars, at least with that exchange rate. Still, it's about 170?
Yeah.
I forget what the exchange rate is right now.
It's about it's about that. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah, about right. I mean, think about it. You come over here, and that same pair of jeans is $100.
Yeah.
Which for you at today's exchange rate is about 60.
So that doesn't hurt too much.
I mean, you're saving 40 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or, you know, translated, you're actually saving... No, you're not saving 40 bucks. I'm getting all this math wrong. You would be saving... Okay. Let me back up. All right, so you come over here.
Yep.
That pair of jeans is $100,
yep,
which translates to, let's just say, about 60 quid, about 60 pounds,
mm-hmm,
right? So, in fact, you're saving 40 pounds, which translated to American dollars is about 80, you know, is about 60 bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, the savings is huge. But it's so expensive going the other direction. So for every dollar I spend, I'm actually, you know, because the prices are equivalent. For instance, something that's a dollar here is going to be a pound there.
Yeah, because we import a lot of our stuff. So say it's electronics, for example, it's coming from the same places that you guys would have it.
Right.
So, you know, you all you're doing is you're doing the exchange, but then chucking 20% VAT on it. You know,
crazy.
So it really adds up. So
yeah,
we kind of just, you know, like say Apple, for example, if they release something that's $500, we can expect it for about £500.
Right.
Which you do the math that you just did, just doesn't make sense, but...
It's very expensive, but there's reasons for it. And I would argue, though, your VAT and your taxation rates are somewhat high, what you get in return for that is much different than what we get in return.
Yeah, it is, although there would be a lot of people that would tell you that doesn't mean anything at the moment, but that's a whole other topic.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, you go to... you want to go to, say... university, right? The cost for you is demonstrably cheaper.
Yeah, of course. It's say, for example, at the moment, it's like £3,000 a term.
Yeah.
So that's, let's say, $6,000 for, you know, let's say about $4,500 a term. A year. Sorry, not a term,
yep,
a year.
Yeah.
And I know that it's like six-figure sums.
It can be. The college I used to work at, Carleton College in Northfield, when I left, I don't know what the current tuition rate is, but when I left, the tuition was $46,000 a year.
That is incredible. How? Yeah. I mean, do you get grants and stuff?
I mean, most students who go into college are doing so on grants and loans.
Yeah.
That said, so many of them are doing it solely on loans. And the problem with that should be obvious, right?
You'd be paying it off forever.
You're going to be paying that off forever. You get out of, I mean, you get out of college and you're starting off $200,000 in debt. You know?
It's no way to start a life, is it?
Right, exactly. You know, what's the point of going to college? I would honestly much rather go out, get a job, work my way up to something. And I mean, obviously, there are some jobs that you can't have without going to not only college, but to a master's program as well. Yeah. You know, for instance, you want to be a lawyer? Guess what? That's going to be 4 years of college and, you know, another 4 years likely of law school, 2 to 4 years. Same with medical school. You want to be a doctor? That's what you're going to, that's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you're going to be getting out of those jobs with sometimes $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 in debt out of the gate. You know, that's just crazy when you think about it.
It's not fun. Anyway, let's wrap this up. But yes,
yeah,
I'm
we
busy.
Should wrap this up. You are very busy. So before, while we wrap this up, let's plug some of the things you're busy on.
Okay. So,
all right.
I've got what I'm doing at the podcasting project. .com at the moment, so that's the Hurley Bird, and so you can go to the hurleybird.com, and we've also officially launched the App Orchard podcast now.
Yes, which is great. It's a podcast all about iOS apps.
Yes, and that is with Josh Rushnell of MacGasm, and we've just we just finished recording episode 3, and that should be out by the time people hear this. So yeah, it's going good, and we've got some exciting plans. We're going to be bringing on some developers soon, doing some developer profiles and stuff. So that's going to be what the show will eventually turn into. So, yeah, it would be great. So if you're a fan of iOS apps or just any apps in general, we're talking about Android apps, Mac apps, the whole shebang, then go listen to it. You can find it in iTunes, Instacast, and at apporchardpodcast.com.
By the way, let me know if you need me to kind of hook up conversations with some of the developers I might know.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
You know, I mean, Nick would, I'm sure, would love to be on, but he's not doing iOS stuff.
It doesn't matter. We're doing all sorts.
Oh, really? Okay, so
everything.
Mac.
We do Mac. All right. We do Mac other apps? Platforms, the whole shebang.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Yeah, I should make that an introduction.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Mike, as always.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk later.
Cheers.